Jesus, we do praise you and thank you. We thank you that you are the creator of all things and that you do have plans for us and that you do have plans that far exceed anything we can think or imagine. We thank you that you have plans for this world, plans for our future. We thank you and praise you. For we know that we have nothing to fear in this world because you are the creator of all things and you have invested your power, your authority, your word within us. So we praise you and thank you this morning. As we get ready to receive your word, we humbly acknowledge you as the creator of all things, including these lives. And we humbly give ourselves back to you. We're ready to receive, to be strengthened, to be stirred, to become fully that new creation that you've made us to be in you. For we give ourselves to you. We thank you and praise you. It is everything to your glory, all to your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we began this year by looking at our role, looking at the roles that we have as stewards. And we began by seeing what a humble honor it is to be entrusted with that which belongs to God. To be entrusted with these lives and all that we have. To be entrusted, have entrusted to us that which belongs to God. Now, we also said that we understand that we have come from death to life through the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I accepted Jesus and I accepted his sacrifice for me, I willingly gave my life back to him, back to the one who was the creator of this life. And so this life is no longer my own. It doesn't belong to me. It truly belongs to Jesus because he purchased this life at a cost. He purchased it with the price of his blood. Now, we have done nothing to earn the right to be entrusted with anything, to be given stewardship of anything from God. We've done nothing to earn the right for that. But Jesus, in his infinite love, has graciously made me the steward of this life and of all that pertains to this life. That's true for you, and that's true for every single person that has accepted Jesus Christ, for every single person who's a believer in Jesus Christ. So over the last 2 weeks, we've seen much of what God has given us stewardship over in this life. From both the natural world, from this life, to the money that we have, all the resources that we have, our marriage, our children, our homes, and so much more. But also from the spiritual realm, where Jesus has given us stewardship over revelation, knowledge of the Word, where we, by the Holy Spirit, we understand his Word. And he's given stewardship of that understanding to use it to advance his kingdom and to further his will and to touch other lives. And he's given us a deeper understanding of all of the spiritual things. He's given us that understanding, and he's given us stewardship to use that understanding. We saw last week that Jesus has also given each one of us stewardship over an individual spiritual gift or talent that he has personally chosen for you and invested in you to bring glory to his name. This is what he has done. And we concluded last week by looking at the Old Testament example of stewardship from Abraham's servant, Eliezer. Now, I'm going to say the name Eliezer a lot today. For some reason, I have a hard time. Because we've always heard of Eleazar, my mind keeps going there. So if you see me say Eliezer, because that's what I'm talking about, Eliezer. Eliezer is the servant, the steward of Abraham. Now, the account that we see, the account of the stewardship of Eliezer, it comes from the book of Genesis chapter 24. And in Genesis chapter 24, that's also when we see that Abraham is seeking a wife for his son of promise, Isaac. We also saw last week that Abraham doesn't want Isaac to marry a Canaanite woman. Rather, Abraham wants his son to marry a woman that is from his own people and from his own blood. So we saw that Abraham makes the decision to send his most trusted and his oldest servant, Eliezer. And he sends Eliezer back to Abraham's homeland in Ur, in Mesopotamia. He sends him back to find from Abraham's people a wife for his son of promise, Isaac. So Eliezer is entrusted with much of the wealth. He's given much of the wealth of Abraham, and he makes that journey of upwards of 600 miles back to Ur. Now, as we read through the rest of Genesis chapter 24, we see that story unfold. And we see that as Eliezer is there, he finds Rebecca. He wins Rebecca. He wins Rebecca's family. And he brings Rebecca back to become the wife of Isaac, the son of promise, the son of promise from Abraham. So from the stewardship, of this man who is the steward and the servant of Abraham, from this man we can learn some of the qualities, that are required for us to become good stewards, servants in Jesus Christ. So as we can become those good servants, as we adopt those qualities, of good stewardship, as we adopt those to ourselves, we can then become good stewards. We can become better stewards so that God can entrust us with more. And that's what we want, right? We want God to be able to entrust us with more because God has already established everything that he has prepared for each one of us to have. He's already prepared those things for us. He just wants to entrust it to us. Well, he entrusts more to us as we show, as we demonstrate, as we prove that we are good and faithful stewards. So last week I told you that when I was reading through Genesis chapter 24, I personally found, I identified 14 different qualities of a wise steward. Now, we don't have time to go through all 14, but I did highlight a few of them for you last week. So here's the four we looked at last week. First of all, we saw that a wise steward is a faithful steward. Faithfulness, we saw, is rewarded by being entrusted with not some, not most, but faithfulness is rewarded by being entrusted with all that God has prepared for us. We also learned that a wise steward is one that makes the master's will his will. The third thing we saw is that a wise steward praises God, praises the Lord at all times, regardless of the appearance of things. And the final thing we looked at last week is a wise steward, a good steward, a faithful steward is one that follows the priorities of the Lord. And it sounds the same, but it's different than making the master's will his will. There's two different things. So the wise steward follows the priorities of the Lord, making his priorities, making those priorities the priorities of his life in all that he does and in all of his service. The Lord's priorities are the prime priorities, not his own priorities. So these are the things we learned last week. What I want to do this morning is begin by looking at a few more of these qualities that we see exemplified through Eliezer. Eliezer, who is the steward, the servant of Abraham. So as we pick it up this morning, Eliezer also shows us that a wise steward understands that his identity is in Jesus, not in self. Now, if you read through Genesis chapter 24, when you read through the entire account of Eliezer's stewardship, you'll notice that not one time, never once, does the servant of God ever identify himself by his own name. Go through it. Every time he identifies himself as the master's servant. You'll see it numerous times, but here's just an example. This is verse number 34 of Genesis, chapter 24. And this is Eliezer. No, this is Eliezer, see? This is Eliezer as he is describing, he's talking, and he says, as he does so often, so he said, I am Abraham's servant. This is how he introduces himself. This is how he says who he is. I am Abraham's servant. He never identifies himself by name. He is always Abraham's servant because that's the way he sees himself. And that is the heart of a good steward. This is how we should see things. We should see our lives and everything that we have and all that we do in our lives, we should see it not through the narrow lens of self, but instead we should see our lives through the broad scope, through the vastness of who we are in Jesus Christ. If my identity is just in self, it's a very limited identity. I used this example before, but it's kind of like this. If you have a telescope, I can look through a telescope, and what I see through the telescope, I can see just one small section. I can see it really clearly, but that's all I can see. So if I'm going through life with a telescope as I'm walking down the road, I'm not going to see most of what's going on around me. That's very much what happens to us if our identity is in self. We see ourselves really clearly, but we miss the vastness of what we could be and what we should be and what we're intended to be in Jesus Christ. So learn from the example of Eliezer. His identity is not in himself. His identity is always in who he is in the Lord, in the Master. Our identity is in Jesus, not in who we are. Now, this is really interesting. According to Genesis chapter 15, before Isaac was born to Abraham, so this is before that promise came to pass, Abraham had the promise from God that he would be a father of many nations, but it hadn't taken place yet. So before Isaac was born to Abraham, Eliezer, this servant, this steward, he was the heir. He was the inheritor of all that Abraham had. Abraham had been blessed abundantly by God. And before Isaac, Eliezer was the heir of all that Abraham had. But he was replaced by the son, by the blood son, Isaac. And even though he was replaced by the blood son, Eliezer was still entrusted with a great amount of the wealth. He was given stewardship over all of it, but he was given a vast amount of the wealth and sent back to the land of Abraham, sent back to Ur with the purpose of finding a wife for the heir that replaced him. That is the heart of a good steward. I mean, just think about this. Eliezer had all this wealth with him, and he is sent away carrying all this wealth. He could have gone 550 miles on his journey and said, you know what? Yeah, this was mine. This should have been mine. By rights, this was mine. He could have taken off and never seen Abraham again and lived well. But the steward understands that that which is entrusted to him does not belong to him. And the steward honors the will of the master. You know, I see that example and it makes me ask myself, what am I doing? How am I stewarding this life that he's given me? Because it's the easiest thing in the world to wake up every morning and to know what I have planned for the day and to think the thoughts that I have and the desires and the determinations, my plans for the day. But how many mornings do I ever wake up and ask the Lord, I am the steward of this life. I am the steward of this day. I'm your steward. What is your will for me today? That's the heart of a wise steward. And if we want to see Jesus entrusting us with more, with all that he has prepared for each one of us, we need to become those good, wise, and faithful stewards in Jesus Christ. This is what we need to become, and this is who we need to be. This is what Jesus needs to see from each one of us. So Eliezer lost his role as the heir. He lost that role, but he still sees himself. He still identifies himself as Abraham's servant. And he still obediently does the will of his master, giving no place to his own desires. And unto this man, all that Abraham has is entrusted to. All that is Abraham's is entrusted to his stewardship because he is that good steward. The way to more in God is the way of good stewardship. That might be what we use for the year. Think about this. If we want to have more of what God has, if we want to see more of what God has entrusted to us, the way to more in God is the way of good stewardship. That's where we see more being entrusted. to us. Amen? I like that. If you guys forget it, I'm going to remember that one. So here's another quality of a good steward, as demonstrated to us by Eliezer. A good steward knows that he can use all that is entrusted to him to do the will of his master, knowing that he need not worry about the results of his stewardship. I can use this life and I can use all that Jesus has entrusted to me. I can do it according to his will and not have to worry at all about the results of my stewardship, because I know that the Holy Spirit has gone before me. The Holy Spirit has gone before you. The Holy Spirit has gone before us, and he has already established the success of your stewardship. I don't have to worry about it because my success is established in the Holy Spirit. It's already done. He's already provided it, and he's already taken care of it on our behalf. It's already done. Eliezer, he learned this lesson directly from Abraham. Again, in Genesis chapter 24, this is Eliezer. We're looking at verse number 40. And Eliezer is speaking, and he's speaking about what Abraham said to him when Abraham sent him on this task, on this assignment. And this is clearly what Eliezer believes and where his faith is at. It says, but he said to me, so Abraham said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son from all from my family and from my father's house. You understand how difficult this task was that Abraham gave? Because Abraham's been gone from this land for a long, long time. He has no idea who God. It's not like he can send a telegraph. He can't, you know, make a phone call to Eliezer and say, so who do you have? What's going on? What's their name? What's their family roots? He's got to entrust Eliezer to make the choice that God has for his son. And he sends him with all of his great, vast amounts of wealth to accomplish this. Because he's trusting that Eliezer is going to believe that the Lord has sent an angel before him to prosper his way. We can know that whatever the role is, whatever the assignment is, that we've been given stewardship over, whatever that assignment is, great or small assignments, we can know that the Holy Spirit has already gone before us to prosper our way. It's already done and established for us. We don't have to worry about it. You know, there's an example that we can see just from right here on Sunday mornings, even from this morning. An example that we can see about this quality of a good steward. Because think about this. When the Lord gives us word, when he speaks a word after praise and worship and before this message, when he speaks a word, whether it's through Diane or whether it's through Jim or whether it's through Donna or whether it's through Colleen, we've all experienced that. We've all participated in that. But you know what? That's the assignment that the Lord has given to them. But they still have to move forward in it. They still have to start speaking. And I can't speak for them, but it's been my experience. It's not until I start speaking that the Holy Spirit shows me all the things he's going to say. But I've got to start speaking. I've got to start along the way. This is what we need to do. We need to just faithfully move ahead. It doesn't matter. Don't wait. We are called. Whatever the assignment is that Jesus has given to you, whatever that assignment is, just move forward and do it. Don't wait until things look right. Don't wait until the circumstances become optimal. Just go forward and do it. Start just like they do. They're the example. Start. Do it. Move forward in the unseen knowledge that the Lord has already prepared the way for you. Because here's the thing. They had to be obedient. That was their assignment. They had to be obedient. They had to move forward. They had to start. And once they start, the Holy Spirit gave them the rest. As we move forward in faith in whatever the assignment is, whether it's a daily assignment, a lifetime assignment, whatever it is, when we move forward, it is as we move forward in faith that Jesus releases to us all that we need along the way. Let me say that again. It's when we move forward in faith, that's when Jesus releases all that we need along the way. And he ensures our success as his stewards. This is the confidence that we have. This is one of the qualities of a good steward. So here's the final quality I want to look at this morning, at least the final quality that we see as exemplified through Eliezer, Abraham's servant. Here's the final quality. A good steward, a wise steward, speaks the word in faith. A good steward can speak the word in faith, knowing. He can speak the word in faith, knowing that he has the assurance that the words that he speaks in faith are backed by the full power and authority of Jesus. Because this is the authority that we have in Jesus. Somebody should have been excited about that. That's really good news. Whatever you, when you speak the word in faith, it's backed by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. How can you not succeed? Let's go back to the example of Eliezer. So when Eliezer finally arrived at his destination in Ur, back in the land of Mesopotamia, here's the problem that Eliezer had. How is he going to find the one woman? Out of all the women in Mesopotamia, how's he going to find the one woman that God has chosen to be the wife of the son of promise, Isaac? How's he going to do that? So, here's what Eliezer does. Eliezer speaks to God in faith, saying, and this is what he said. He spoke these words in faith. Eliezer said to God, I will wait. I'm going to wait by the well. And when you send the woman, I'm going to ask the woman a very specific question. And if she is the one, she will give a very specific response. He was speaking exactly what he was going to do, what he was trusting God was going to do, and he was speaking exactly what he would say and what she would say. Now here's how that unfolds. So this is in Genesis chapter 24, verse number 15. And it happened before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now, as you go down after that, it makes it clear that Eliezer asked his question and that Rebekah gave the answer that were the exact words of faith that Eliezer had spoken to God. Here's the encouragement that I want you to see from that. From that quality of a good steward. Here's the encouragement we get from that. Before Eliezer had finished speaking, he's speaking words of faith and saying, God, this is how I'm going to know. This is how I'm going to find the woman. Before he's finished speaking those words of faith, before he's finished speaking, behold, Rebekah appears. The work was already done. Even as Eliezer is speaking his words, even as he's speaking his plan of faith to God, before he can finish speaking, behold, Rebekah is there. He spoke his words of faith, and he saw the answer immediately. He actually saw it before immediately. It was done before he was finished speaking. Jesus has already gone before you and I. He's already gone before us. We usher in his victories and his promises from the spiritual realm to this natural realm. We usher them in by speaking his word in faith. This is a quality of a wise, a good, and a faithful steward of what Jesus has entrusted to us. This is a quality. Now, there's many more qualities that we can see from the example of Eliezer. And I encourage you, read through Genesis chapter 24 yourself. And let the Holy Spirit show you what some of those qualities of a good steward are. But now what I want us to do is remember the qualities that we've looked at. Keep those qualities in your mind. And now let's return back to the New Testament. And let's see some more of the examples of being a good steward. So under the Old Covenant, we just saw all those examples. Under the Old Covenant, one of the great examples of stewardship is from Eliezer. But under the new covenant in Jesus, we get a much broader picture. If we go to the first verses, the opening verses of Galatians chapter 4, and go there, because we're going to read a whole bunch of that. As we go to those opening verses of Galatians chapter 4, we see Paul speaking some key words to us. These are key words to our study of what it is to be a good steward. And these words that we see him speak that I want to focus on, these words are slaves, sons, and heirs. So I'm going to show you verses 1 through 7 from Galatians chapter 4, but I'm going to show it to you. I mean, read it in your Bible, mark it in your Bible, but I want you to see it and hear it from the Amplified Bible. Now, what I mean is that as long as the inheritor, heir, is a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the master of all of the estate, but he's under guardians and administrators or trustees until the date fixed by his father. So we, Jewish Christians, also when we were minors, were kept like slaves under the rules of the Hebrew rituals and subject to the elementary teachings of a system of external observations and regulations. But when the proper time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the regulations of the law, to purchase the freedom of, to ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who were subject to the law, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's sons. And because you really are his sons, God has sent his Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Christ. There is so much that's there. Read through that yourself, because I don't have time this morning to go through all that. There is so much that is there. But here's some of the things that I want us to see as we read through that. And here's one of the main things that I want us to see. But read through this and let the Holy Spirit speak to you, because there's a whole lot more. I edited a whole lot out just so I could get it done this morning. So read through it, though. But here's the main things that I want us to see from that. In accepting Jesus' gift of salvation, we are no longer slaves subject to this world. We are, in fact, purchased by his blood. So we are now servants and stewards of Jesus. But, and here is a key important point of understanding, we are servants and stewards of Jesus. But now we serve him as sons of God and joint heirs in Jesus. Can you see the liberty in that? Can you see the power that comes in that? We are stewards, we are servants, but we serve him from the role of sonship and as joint heirs in Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus, we were slaves. But through Jesus, we are now sons of God with all of the rights, privileges, power, and authority that comes with sonship. So a wise steward who is a son of God operates beyond the confines of this world, and this world is confining. A wise steward who is a son of God operates beyond those confines, and he operates in the supernatural power, in all of the promises and all the victories of Jesus Christ. That is how we operate, and that is who we are. I want us to see the difference. There are so many great things that we learn from Eliezer. So many great qualities of the good steward. But I want us to see the difference between the good steward under the old covenant and us as good stewards and the power of being good stewards in the new covenant. Now, I'm going to ask you to concentrate. Just think about this, because this is a great picture. Think about this. Eliezer was the heir who lost his inheritance to the blood son of the master, right? So we've already seen that established. He was the heir, lost his inheritance to the blood son of the master. And yet, Eliezer still, did I say that right? Eliezer, yes. Eliezer still was a faithful steward to both the son and the master, and he was with great diligence. That's the old. Jesus is the son of the master who through his blood has shared his inheritance with those who had lost their inheritance. We are now sons, adopted as sons of God with all the rights, privileges, power, and authority that comes with sonship. How much more diligent should our, how much more diligent should our stewardship be? How much more diligent should our daily stewardship be over everything that God has entrusted to us? Can you see the difference? Okay, if you think that's good, it gets even better. It's even more fascinating. Drop down to the very end of Galatians and listen to what Paul says to us. Listen to what he says in Galatians chapter 4, verses 28, 29, 30, and 31. And again, I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. But we, brethren, are children, not by physical descent, as was Ishmael, but like Isaac. We are like Isaac, but we have a better promise. Isaac was the son of promise. We've got an even better promise. We are like Isaac, but we have a better promise. Like Isaac, born in virtue of promise. We are the children of promise. It's who we are. Yet, just as at that time, the child of ordinary birth, born according to the flesh, despised and persecuted him who was born remarkably, according to the promise of the working of the Holy Spirit, so it is now also. But what does Scripture say? Cast out, send away the slave woman and her son, for never shall the son of a slave woman be heir and share the inheritance of the son of a free woman. So, brethren, we who are born again are not children of a slave woman in the natural, but of the free, the supernatural. We are the children of promise. We are the sons of the supernatural. So we steward all that he's entrusted to us in the power of the supernatural. We should expect to see supernatural results from our stewardship in Jesus. So, in Genesis, the steward, Eliezer, was given the responsibility of using all the resources of the master for the purpose of finding a wife for the son of promise, Isaac. Got that in your mind? Now, remember, why did that happen? What was the reason for that? It's because Abraham, the master, did not want his son to marry a Canaanite woman, the world. He wanted his son to marry someone that was of his own people and of his own blood. That was then. Now, Jesus, who is the Son of the Master, has been made flesh, was made flesh, came and lived here. And he used the resource of this life so that we could all become the sons of promise. Because the Father does not want us to be married to the world, but he wants us to be married to his Son. And so the Son, Jesus, became the bridegroom for all who would accept and receive him. We are now his own people by his own blood. That's awesome revelation that we see of who we are in Jesus. And I apologize because I'm just thinking of this now. Caleb's not going to have this, so you're not going to have this up here. But, and hopefully I remember this. I think it's Genesis 15. Yeah, okay, look at this. Genesis 15, verses 2, 3, and 4, and 5. Genesis 15, verses 2 through 5. But Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir. We're not bound. We are not slaves of the world. This one shall not be your heir. But one will come from your own body, shall be your heir. We are now God's people. Because we have come through the blood of Jesus, we have become from slave, we've become sons. We are now adopted as sons. We're part of his people, we're part of his family, by the blood of Jesus. We are the blood. Through the blood, we're blood relatives of Jesus, through his blood. Where to leave off? Okay, so verse number 5. Then he brought him outside. He brought him outside and he said, look now towards heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So this is the image that we get. You see, Eliezer had been the heir. But he was not the blood. He was not the blood heir. We are the blood heir. Through Jesus Christ, we are the sons of the Father. And everything has been entrusted to us. And in the same way that the Lord said, no, listen, your inheritance is going to come through your blood, through your family, through your own body. That's us. And then he takes Abram outside and says, look at the stars. Count them if you can, which you can't. Count them if you can, because so shall your descendants be. Picture yourself. You are now an heir, a joint heir in Jesus Christ, an adopted son. And so he's given you stewardship over what? Over your life and everything that pertains to your life. You're not limited at all in Jesus. Look up in the stars and count the stars if you can. This is what he's entrusted to you. And this is the supernatural power to accomplish all that he has entrusted to you. We need to understand who we are as stewards. We are stewards no longer as slaves, but now adopted as sons. Sons of God and joint heirs with Jesus. This is who we are. Now, today, we are those stewards. We are servants of everything that he's entrusted to us. And we're servants of that so that we can use all that he's entrusted to us to advance his kingdom and to glorify his name. And you're not limited at all. If you feel limited tonight, go out and look at the stars. You're not limited at all. But we also realize, that we operate from the position of sons. We serve him from the position of sons, not from the position of slaves. So we are joint heirs of all of the victories and all of the promises of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, now, look at the first verse of the next chapter. Because remember, when Paul's writing this letter, it's a letter. You know, we break it up into chapters. It was just a letter. It all flowed. So look at the first verse of the next chapter, chapter 5, because it's all part of a continuation of the same truth. Galatians, what did I say? Galatians, yes. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Stand fast. Why? Stand fast because of your sonship. Stand fast, therefore. The therefore is tying this back to the sonship. Stand fast, therefore. In other words, because you're a son. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. A wise steward is managing this house, this temple of the Holy Spirit. A wise steward manages this house. From the position of sonship, we manage this house, standing on the Word of God at all times. To do less is to become entangled once again in the compromises of the world. Always act as one who is an heir. Always act as one who is an heir to all the promises and all the victories that are already established for us in Jesus Christ. And remember, you're an heir. He wants to entrust all that he has established for us. He wants to entrust it to each one of us. He wants to entrust it. And it gets released to us along the way as we operate as good and wise stewards. Good and wise stewards who are not slaves, but sons in Jesus Christ. Eliezer was the example of a steward who found a wife for the son of promise, Isaac. Well, today, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, today, through the Son, we have become the children of promise who are able to operate powerfully as his stewards. This is who we are, and this is the commission that's before us. We are servants. Our lives are not our own. They belong to him. But we realize that by the grace of Jesus Christ, he's graciously given us stewardship of these lives and all that pertains to these lives. We serve him as his stewards from a position of sonship. with all of the power and all of the authority and all of the victories that are associated with the name of Jesus Christ, because we are joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done to us. Holy Spirit, bring to our awareness the reality of who we are as stewards, serving you as stewards, but as sons. Let us see, just like those stars in the heaven, let us see all that you have entrusted to each one of us, because we'll be overwhelmed on our knees, praising you and thanking you at the awareness of what you've entrusted to us. And let us use everything that you have entrusted to us. Let us use it to do your will. Let us be your good, wise, faithful stewards to do your will so we can advance your kingdom and our lives glorify your name. We thank you and praise you for this. Let this become a greater reality. Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us throughout the week and bring this back to our remembrance and speak to each one of us individually as your word and your truth pertains to us in our lives, specifically at this moment. We thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise him as we close this morning.